House will come to order. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Here.
Barlow.
Here.
Berger.
Here.
Blake.
Here.
Blevins.
Here.
Blickrey.
Here.
Brown. Brown.
Excused.
Brown excused. Burkhart. Burkhart.
Excused.
Burkhart excused. Bird.
Here.
Campbell.
Here.
Kennedy.
Here.
Coleman.
Here.
Connolly.
Here.
Davison.
Here.
Eklund.
Here.
Esquivel. Filer, Freeman, Gay, Gingery, Goggles, Greer, Green, Halverson, Harshman, Harshman excused, Harvey, Hunt, Hutchings, Hutchings, Yagi, Kasparik, Kirkbride, Croker, Crone, Larson, Lockhart, Laux, Madden, McKim,
here.
Miller,
here.
Moniz,
here.
Nicholas,
here.
Northrup,
here.
Patton,
here.
Paxton,
here.
Petroff, Piperinen, Reeder, Simlick,
here.
Summers,
here.
Stubson,
here.
Teeters,
here.
Throne,
here.
Wallace excused, Walters,
here.
Watt,
here.
Wilson,
here.
Winters,
here.
Swanitzer Dan,
here.
Swanitzer Dave,
here.
Mr. Speaker,
here.
Hutchings, Hutchings, 55 present, 4 excused, 1 absent. Who's here? Harshman. Okay.
The prayer of today will be offered by Rabbi Harley Kartz Wagman, representing Mount Sinai Synagogue, Cheyenne.
As my last day here, I thank you all for the opportunity and honor of being here, and I thank the speaker for his remarkable ability to pronounce Kartz Wagman correctly. Thank you for that. God, help us to learn from each other's faith tradition. Help us to learn a core lesson from my Jewish Bible, which is also a source for Christians and Muslims, even though they call it this Old Testament. May we learn from the dozens of times when our Bible reminds us that we need to show special care, proactive, affirmative concern for the most vulnerable in our society, which our Bible calls the widow, the orphan, and the stranger. These are the ones who have no one to protect them, no one to support them. So may we remember, we who are fortunate enough to show special caring for those who have so little. In general, may we remember that they lack lobbyists, others who can speak for them, and they lack the resources to contact our legislature and speak for themselves. So it becomes our duty, by our traditions, to proactively consider their needs. May we gain the wisdom to try to understand what is a very difficult question, which is simply, who are today's widows, orphans, and strangers? And an equally difficult question, how can we show them that special care? May we respect each other as we make our own personal decisions, applying our values to this difficult challenge. May God grant us the courage and the wisdom to discuss those personal approaches, and when appropriately, to make compromises so that we here in our state can live out our deepest values. Finally, again, I thank you for this opportunity to come here. May God bless all of you as you pursue your passions for public service. And we can say, Amen.
Thank you.
put that order of business of Journal Committee report.
The Journal Committee reports that the Journal of January 31st, 2013 has been read and recommends that it be approved. It's signed by Representative Fowler and Representative Winters.
Representative Esquivel, privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to introduce our page of the day. And for you new members, 7 years old is the youngest for having a page, so you're going to have one of the youngest pages we've ever had because she just recently turned seven, and it's Senator Esquivel's granddaughter, Arielle Esquivel Melanson. And Grandma and Mom and Cousin and Big Brother, who's going to be the page later this afternoon, are all up there in the gallery, too.
Welcome to the House. Representative Davis, in privilege of the floor.
Brothers and sisters of the 62nd, I'm worried about you. I'm hoping that you're all drinking your water. You can just call me Mother, but I worry that we're not taking care of ourselves down here. I know we're not getting a lot of rest. We're not eating right. But please, please drink your water. Thank you.
With that order of business of Senate files on first reading, the first bill for our consideration is Senate File 98.
Senate File Number 98, as introduced by Senator Perkins.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to trade practices.
Senate File 98 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 117.
Senate File 117 is introduced by Senator Bebout.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to domestic violence protection.
Senate File 117 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 144.
Senate File 144 is introduced by Senator Von Flathern.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to community college district boards.
Senate File 144 is referred to Committee Number 4, Education. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 137.
Senate File 137 is introduced by Senator Burns.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to protection of animals.
Senate File 137 is referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 110.
Senate File 110 is introduced by Senator Cooper.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to motor vehicles.
Senate File 110 is referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 38.
Senate File 38 is introduced by Senator Ross.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to education.
Senate File 38 is referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. The next bill for our consideration is Senate Joint Resolution 1.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 1 is introduced by Senator Ross.
First reading of the bill.
A joint resolution proposing to amend the Wyoming Constitution.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 1 is referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. Our doctor of the day today is Dr. Nima Azerbehi. Dr. Azerbehi, welcome to the House if you're here. With that order of business of reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 219, Campaign Finance Reporting, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Burkhart, Esquivel, Harshman, Moniz, Nicholas, Stubson, Wallace, signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 228, Transfer of Federal Lands Study, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Burkhart, Esquivel, Harshman, Moniz, Stubson, Wallace, one no vote, Representative Nicholas, signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 3, Revenue, to whom was referred House Bill 260, Game and Fish License Fees, -3, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blickery, Goggles, Kirkbride, Madden, Petroff. Those who voted no, Representatives Eklund, Laux, Northrup, and Semlich, signed by Representative Madden, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highways, Military Affairs, to whom was referred House Bill 235, Firefighters License Plates, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blake, Blevins, Campbell, Hutchings, Yeagy, McKim, Reeder, Dave Zwanitzer, and no vote by Representative Laux, signed by David Zwanitzer, Chairman.
We're at that order of business of bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 77.
House Bill 77, an act is introduced by Representative Dave Zwanitzer, an act relating to lotteries.
House Bill 77 has an amendment. Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 77. It's a very simple one. It was due to my negligence, I think. And all it does is reflect the same wording that we did in the Committee of the Whole amendment number 1 to page 4. As you recall, we tightened up what kind of gambling or gaming was be allowed under House Bill 77 and ruled out certain games that could not be considered. And then we get to page 15, which is what this amendment is about. It's just putting the exact same language in on page 15, or excuse me, lines 18, 19, and 20 on page 15. Answer questions, or if there is no questions, I'd call for the question.
Anyone else for your first time? First time, second time prior to the sponsor. Question having been called, we're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 77. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 77 carries. House Bill 77 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 99.
House Bill 99 is introduced by Representative Stubson, an act relating to campaign funds.
House Bill 99 has an amendment. Representative Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 99. Speaking for this amendment and against the bill, there was discussion about this yesterday about what do we do with our personal contributions if we decide that we want to leave elected office. I was adding a clause in here so that any personal contributions or contributions made by a family member can be reimbursed upon our leaving office. I also have a couple of other issues with this bill. I feel this is an attempt to put things in a box. We've heard if a number of times throughout our debate on the floor the last couple days. If. I don't think this bill foresees all the ifs. I've heard discussion about a number of things. One, an individual uses their car and burns up their tires, so they want to replace their tires on their car. Or shoes, for example. You're out campaigning and you buy yourself a new pair of shoes. We've heard examples of being out in a blizzard. I spent a week at the fair. I think that there's a right to be reimbursed for some of that personally. I think this equates to more government regulation, and I think that it equates to more abuse and potential for abuse. And I think that this bill has unintended consequences as well. The last thing I'd like to bring up is, does this bill go retroactive? If an individual has, say, $15,000 of a war chest stored up in their campaign account, is that money going to be accountable to this bill as well?
Mr. Speaker, point of order, and I didn't want to interrupt the good gentleman, but we need to try and maintain the conversation to the amendment.
If the Speaker will maintain his conversation with respect to the specifics of the amendment and not to the general bill, there'll be time, should the good representative want to do a delete the enacting clause, to discuss the entire bill tomorrow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just I stand for any questions.
Anybody else for their first time? Representative Stubson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I was going to say it was a friendly amendment, but it didn't sound that friendly. But I still consider it a friendly amendment and would urge your eye.
Is there any other discussion on the bill prior to the sponsor discussion? Discussion, Representative Baker. Question having been called, we're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 99. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 99 has carried. House Bill 99 having been read two separate times. Question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 109.
House Bill 109 is introduced by Representative Wallace, an act relating interstate shipment of meat and poultry.
House Bill 109 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 126.
House Bill 126 is introduced by Representative Wallace, an act relating to agriculture.
Representative Barlow.
Mr. Speaker, in accordance with House Rule 7-3, I respectfully request that House Bill 126 be laid back without prejudice for one day.
Without objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 126 will be laid back for one day. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 134.
House Bill 134 is introduced by Representative Brown, an act relating to highways.
House Bill 134 having been read two separate times. Question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 145.
House Bill 145 is introduced by Representative Dan Zwanenser, an act relating to insurance.
House Bill 145 having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 166.
House Bill 166 is introduced by Representative Harshman, an act relating to the Hathaway Student Scholarship Program.
House Bill 166 having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 176.
House Bill 176 is introduced by Representative Stevenson, an act relating to school district capital construction funding.
House Bill 176 having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 205.
House Bill 205 is introduced by Representative Northrup, an act relating to motor vehicles.
House Bill 205 having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 215.
House Bill 215 is represented by Representative Patton, an act relating to state investments.
There is an amendment, Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 215 and ask for your consideration. Members of the body, you'll remember the good-spirited discussion we had on this legislation yesterday. The key issue when we expanded this program 2 years ago was that the low numbers in the law before we amended it really took a whole class of investments off the table and prevented the treasurer from even looking at them, prevented the governor from even looking at them. And so, and that's particularly true if you look at the bill on page 2, that $500 million limitation that we had raised to $1 billion. It's important to recognize that limitation is not just the State Industrial Development Bond Program. There's a number of programs that fall under that. So you could have that full amount soaked up and sort of eliminate your ability to do the industrial development bond, even at the $200 million level that's currently in the bill. And so what this does, I'm trying to seek a middle ground on this. It does concede to a substantial lowering of the current statutory amounts. It would go from $600 million to $400 million, and then that overall umbrella limit would be $800 million. And this, at least, I think it still probably ends up taking some projects off the table and prevents us from even considering them, but at least it limits that damage a little bit, and it allows the rulemaking and for the rulemaking and other concerns that the good sponsor had. So I'd urge your aye vote on it.
Representative Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and opposed to the amendment. Here we go. It's just we can't keep our hands off of the figures. It doesn't seem to matter. Does anybody have an idea how much $100 million is? How many of us have a checking account of $100 million? What we're trying to do is to provide what the state treasurer felt that he was comfortable with in being able to manage the affairs and the investments that he's charged to be responsible for. if there's a need for a particular investment that comes along that exceeds what we passed yesterday, all they have to do is to come before the state legislature, and it's available to us. We can do as we please. But I would think that the limits that are there now, it's interesting. It started off that they were comfortable with $100 million, and the committee decided on page 2, line 1 of the amendment, that was changed from $100 million to $200 million, and now it's up to $400 million. I don't know what it'll be tomorrow, but hopefully it'll be back down to the $200 million rise in opposition to the amendment.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Piperina.
I also stand and rise in opposition to this amendment, too. I think the good representative brings up some very valid points, and we need to watch what we're doing with our monies.
Chairman Semler.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. We did have an excellent testimony in committee with respect to this bill and the numbers that we put in the bill. We did amend those numbers up in committee from $100 million to $200 million because we were approaching about 50% of what the projects might be out there. So if we would have heard some testimony that would suggest that we are taking projects off the table, I think the committee would have certainly been mindful of that. But we absolutely heard no testimony that was the case. So I would think that we have landed on a number that will service the needs for the projects that might be out there with respect to this area, and would ask that you would not support the amendment.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and in favor of the amendment, just because we haven't gotten one in the hopper right now that needs that kind of commitment from the state doesn't mean that they can't come between sessions. And so whatever we put in law, we've got to live with until we do something different with it at another time. So I think these projects can occur, and it's as though we're gifting something. It's not a gift. This is a business decision that's made on the merits of the project and their ability to repay whatever they get from the state. So it's a marker. I think the proposed amendment at $400,000 is better than the $200,000 that we got to earlier, and with that, I'd urge your support.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm just going to speak briefly on it. This becomes a question of philosophy. We're talking about, you know, how much of this private investment type thing do you think that a portfolio really should be exposing themselves to? You'll see by the bill that we got, this is subparagraph M and N in here we're talking about, and if you want to have some fun, you can go to the 9-4715 itself, and you'll see over the years there's been a whole slew of these things that come in where we've set up programs out of public funds to build airport runways or borrow money for airport runways, loans to certain interest groups. The list goes on, and it's all because of what's happened in this legislative body over the years. These are non-traded, kind of special investments, and the issue about, well, we don't want to set it down because we might scare one off, that's really kind of part of the idea. It's a wonder that the banks in Wyoming have any business at all the way we're conducting ourselves in this 7415. So I'd urge you not to buy this amendment and defeat it and go back to the original bill.
Are there any other committee chairmen who want to speak on this bill? Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the amendment, we did have a good discussion on general file, but, you know, this is going the wrong way. You know, bringing the money, keeping it in Wyoming, investing in Wyoming's future. That's what I want to do. I'm scared of shipping this money off to the East Coast and letting the folks back there invest this. I want to use that word to my bankers, but I'm not. but on and for the amendment, frankly, I'm going to be against the bill. I'm going to go back to the way it was, which is actually better. I also heard some comments this morning that there were a lot of projects. I think that the gentleman said 60 or 70 that were in various stages of the works. A lot of these are projects that pay royalties, severance tax, ad valorem taxes. I would think those are the type of projects we want in Wyoming, not with the risky nature of some of these investments. In the banks, with the Federal Reserve, loaning money back and forth, excuse me, that corporation that appears to be a government entity back on the East Coast. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Eklund.
I think a lot of us are having trouble making up our minds on this thing. One of the things that would be helpful, there's been insinuation that the fund has been abused in the past. I guess I'd like to see what the net losses or incomes, the percentages, before we can really make a good decision on how much money should be in the fund. So I would look forward to somebody bringing evidence of that maybe before we're done with the bill. Thank you.
Representative Blickery.
Mr. Chairman, I can't think of any example of this fund being abused or even used for that matter. What this is about is just a prudent lending practice. No bank would have that high of a percentage of what they have available to invest stuck into one pot for things that are risky. And don't be fooled. These are risky investments. Fully, all you do is you guess how much the collateral is going to be worth if you have to take it back. That is a guess. Or an estimate. Maybe estimate is a fairer word to use. Right. But this is what we're doing here. We're deciding what our policy is going to be. This is what you saw in the bill is the policy that the man who will be administering it says will work just fine. Just please hold to a prudent lending policy.
Anyone else for your first time? First time. Second time. Second time for Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Again, the policy we have now is just fine. It's been rolling along just fine, hasn't been abused. This is a change in policy. We're trying to make this change less drastic with this amendment. So on and for the amendment, against the bill if it doesn't pass.
Anyone else for their second time? Second time prior to the sponsor. Mr. Majority Whip. Representative Patton, I'm sorry.
It is policy, but the policy doesn't end here. The policy is available to the legislature to review in the event that you had a project that was greater than the limits. My good friend, Toronto County legislator, did misspoke a little bit when he said it was $400,000 opposed to $200,000. There are another three digits there. I want you to put this in to the perspective that we all understand. It's like your checkbook. It's $400 million, not $400,000. So on and against the amendment.
Anyone else for their second time? Second time. Second time prior to the sponsor. Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Again, in particularly in regard to that second number, that $500 million that we take it back down to, that we reverse the policy that went through this body, the other body, and the governor's office just 2 years ago because it was deemed to be a limitation on the ability of the state of Wyoming to invest in its own people. That's where we're going back to. And remember, that is, if you go to Section 9.4.715, there are quite a number of bonding programs within that. one for $300 million in bonds from the common school account, another one for $100 million for local government bonds, $200 million for other types of bond, another one for $200 million, and then this one. And so in putting a $500 million cap, you are not capping just this program. You are capping all those programs found in 9-4-7-15, and that's what we were trying to get around the first time 2 years ago when we found that there were opportunities out there that this statute prevented us from even entertaining. Now, we keep hearing that the current state treasurer likes these numbers, and that's great. He can follow these numbers. He's in charge of that. He has all the authority in his hands to use the exact numbers that he wants. But we're passing a policy not for today, but for years to come. And I think it's irresponsible to say, oh, if we come to a situation where we need more money, then we'll just come back and debate it. And if that project's hanging out there, maybe they'll be there by the time we're done debating it and passing a new law. Maybe they won't, but we won't even be able to look at it until it gets through these bodies. This sets a reasonable level that opens opportunities for the state. It's a responsible level. It follows the prudent man rule. And I just ask for your adoption. Thank you.
We're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 215. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
The amendment fails. House Bill 215, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Representative Crone, privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of the 62nd, please join me in welcoming my mayor, mayor of the city of Cody, Wyoming, a council member, and our city administrator, Mayor Nancy Tia Brown, council member Landon Greer, and city administrator Jenny Rosenkrantz. They came all the way down from beautiful Cody country to be here. Welcome to the house.
Welcome to the house. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 225. Oh, I'm sorry. Representative Connolly.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please.
Okay. Members of the body, I've been asked to announce to you a reminder of the Governor's Arts Award Banquet, which will be honoring winners from Casper, Gillette, and Ten Sleep, which is next Friday night. You have that invitation somewhere on your desks. It's a great event. But they need to know who's coming, all right? So you have to RSVP to this one. I will send out an email message giving you how to RSVP if you can't find the invitation on your desk. And it's next Friday night, and hope you all can come. You get to see some of our most talented, both youth and adults from around the state, give some performances. So thank you.
The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 225.
House Bill 225, introduced by Representative Somers, an act relating to brands.
House Bill 225 has an amendment. Representative Somers.
Mr. Speaker, fellow members, I would move House Bill, second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 225 and ask for your favorable consideration. This is a cleanup. Should have been done in the amendment in the standing committee, but I kind of failed to get that done. If you would go to page 2, line 18, what this section, Romanette 2, was trying to do was in the case where a family ranch is owned by a couple in joint tenancy and they move to either some other entity, a partnership or a LLC, that they can do so without repercussions of brand inspection. I think this is a better way of stating it, and so does LSO and consulting with other members in this body. So what it would say is the transfer of a brand from an individual or an individual and his spouse, and then it would go on with the rest of the amendment that was adopted before to a business entity if the individual and or the individual and his spouse are owners of at least 100% interest in the business entity. So it's simply a cleanup, and I would stand for questions. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? First time. Second time prior to the sponsor. The question being called. We're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 225. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 225 has passed the House. House Bill 225 having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 229.
House Bill 229, introduced by Representative Larson, an act relating to regulation of natural gas.
House Bill 229 having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 230.
House Bill 230, as introduced by Representative Winters, an act relating to school safety and security.
House Bill 230, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 243.
House Bill 243 is introduced by Representative Throne, an act relating to crimes.
House Bill 243, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Brothers and sisters of the 67th, I'm going to give myself a little privilege of the floor. 3 weeks and 3 days ago, during my Speaker of this House speech, I said, this last election cycle, I've seen the rise of litmus test, no compromise interest groups who have a specific with us or against us agenda. Lobbying behaviors which include threats, intimidation, or abusive behaviors will be disclosed and will not be rewarded with the outcomes you seek. Lobby must be professional and high standards will apply. Events of this past week suggest that those words have not been heeded by all. In my view, inaccurate and misleading information concerning positions of some of our members has been disseminated by lobbyists who seek to influence this body. While perhaps a short-term advantage might be perceived by lobbyists using unprofessional tactics, credibility remains the currency for professional lobbyists. The long-term cure for misinformation is free discourse at length where the truth will win out. Each of us must decide what will and will not influence our position on an issue. As a member of this body, I have zero tolerance for any lobbyist who disseminates misleading or inaccurate information. To the body and to those joining us in the gallery or via live streaming, please know that as Speaker, I am responsible for maintaining the decorum on the floor and in those areas of this building under the control of the House. In that role, I reiterate, threats, intimidation, and abusive practices have no place in the Wyoming legislature. With that, we're at the With that order of business of third reading and final passage, the first bill for our consideration is House Bill 37.
House Bill 37, introduced by the Travel Committee, an act relating to game and fish, be enacted by the State of Wyoming.
House Bill 37, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker. Barlow.
No.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Flickery.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Berg.
No.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Filer.
Aye.
Freeman.
Gay,
Gingery, Goggles, Greer, Green, Halverson, Harshman, Harvey, Hunt, Hutchings, Yagi, Kasparik, Kirkbride, Croker, Crone, Larson, Lockhart, Laux, Madden, McKim, Miller, Moniz, Nicholas, Northrup, Patton, Paxton, Petroff, Piperinen, Reeder, Simlick, Summers, Stubson, Teeters, Throne, Wallace, excused. Walters.
Aye.
Watt.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker, I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Eklund, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 51 aye, 8 no, 1 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of a majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 37 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 103.
House Bill 103, as introduced by Representative Yeagy, an act relating to firearms, be enacted by the State of Wyoming.
House Bill 103, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Blickery.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
No.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
No.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Filer.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
No.
Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Hutchings.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparic.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
No.
Northrup.
Aye.
Patton.
No.
Paxton.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Pieperinen.
Aye.
Reeder.
Aye.
Semlick.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Throne.
No.
Wallace excused. Walters.
Aye.
Watt.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 53 aye, 6 no, 1 excused.
The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 104.
House Bill 104, as introduced by Representative Coker, an act relating to firearms, be enacted by the State of Wyoming.
There is an amendment, Representative Coker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move House Bill, third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 104 and ask for its favorable consideration. Members of the body, I'm not going to go through a long debate on the merits of the bill. I think we had that yesterday, but I would ask that you support this amendment because it changes the bill to what the bill's intent was. The amendment that passed yesterday, in my opinion, gutted the intent of the bill. This uses the wording that was brought in the amendment yesterday and just adds back to it agent of the federal government or by an officer or agent of the federal government and then leaves the language as it was stated yesterday or the state of Wyoming or any political subdivision thereof. And then it's also clarifies by adding a provision that if any portion of this law is ruled unconstitutional, the rest of the law will stand. So as a worst-case scenario, if it is challenged, if the authority to arrest a federal agent is not held up, then the law would stand as it was amended yesterday. But it does give us that protection. It's there for a reason. Again, I won't repeat the arguments that were said yesterday. I think everybody's heard them and everybody has their mind made up. But I would ask that you vote for this amendment. Thank you.
Representative Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Speaking on and for the amendment, just a couple things here real quickly. There was some conversation about notification and how it's never been used. I don't think that's a very good excuse. Before Albert Einstein, we never had an atom bomb. Before Neil Armstrong, we were never on the moon. Before President Barack Obama, there was never an African-American president. So that's not a very good argument in my mind. If you believe high-capacity clips and certain firearms should be banned, and the federal government has that right, then vote against this bill and vote against this amendment. But if you don't, then you should stand for this amendment, and you should stand for this bill. This is an issue of the people of Wyoming versus the media and the federal government. and we stand for the people of Wyoming. And as the bill was amended yesterday, it's basically like pulling someone's teeth and not giving them any dentures. So there's no bite to that bill the way it stands. And I'd like to call for the ayes and nays on the amendment vote.
Ayes and nays have been called for. Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for this amendment, friends, we find ourselves at a place in the life cycle of our republic where our historic rights as citizens are more and more limited by fiat rather than our federal counterparts who have been elected to represent us in the legislative branch. And these phenomena are not just demonstrated by members of one party. And in situations where we are oppressed by undue orders given by fiat, it is the duty of this body to stand up and assure the liberty of our citizenry. And it should be understood that executive fiat is held in lower regard than the basic rights enshrined in the Bill of Rights, specifically the 10th and the 2nd. And now we and our counterparts may have grown fearful from our 49 other states of the creation that the first 13 states gave us. We may be fearful of the size of the battle when we consider the David of our humble state taking on the Goliath of federal government. But we must remember, though, that that young man, if he hadn't stepped out into the Valley of Elah that day and faced his giant, his people would have been enslaved. And likewise, if we too shrink from this fight, we will certainly surrender our liberties to ever-growing government. And this bill tells those who come against us with fear that we will respond with the strength that comes from knowing that right makes might and we can prevail. But if we fail, at least our children will someday see the trails where we dug in our heels and held on for their rights with all of our might, that they may follow those trails back to a place of liberty. This amendment before us restores this bill back to its original intent. So on and for this amendment.
Anyone else for your first time? Representative Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Apparently this is one of those bills that you can agree on 95% of it but still be an enemy. It interests me that there's these I receive these emails, you know, over the last day or so that the second reading amendment gutted this bill when, like I said, it's clear that the bill as drafted and as presented to this floor would do nothing. We presented an amendment that would do something, which would mean control who we can control and ensure that they don't infringe on our Second Amendment rights. And so we took an angry statement and made it into an effective statement. That's what we did yesterday. And so the amendment before us, it's one of those circular things that says insert this unconstitutional provision into the bill, and then you have a subparagraph that says ignore that unconstitutional provision we just inserted into the bill. So I just urge the body, reject the amendment. Let's leave the bill as is and pass it forward, because it is a good, strong statement. It is a statement that ensures that when the federal government tries to overreach on our Second Amendment rights, the people of Wyoming, the agents of Wyoming, and all their political subdivisions will have nothing to do with it. And that is an effective and important and material statement to make. So, against the amendment for the bill.
Anyone else for your first time? Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for this amendment, and I think the bill bringer said it just right. This amendment that was brought yesterday does just the opposite of what we are trying to do here. And for people to say that our state rights can't be asserted, I just don't go along with this. I've got a paper here that I should have printed up, handed out, of cases where the state's rights have prevailed. So I'm just a little taken back when we say we don't have the ability to stand up for our state rights. I'd even go back to our individual rights, our county rights, our state rights. I think that's the order they need to be, not backwards with the federal government rights, then state rights, then county, then individual. So I would really urge you to support this amendment and stand up for the original content of this bill.
Anyone else for your first time? First time. Second time. Second time prior to the sponsor. Representative Croker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll make this short, and I'll just use the words of my friend from my home county that he just said and combine it with some of my own and say, let's make an angry, effective statement. Please vote for the amendment.
Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
No.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
No.
Flickery.
No.
Brown.
No.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
No.
Campbell.
No.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
No.
Connolly.
No.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
No.
Filer.
No.
Freeman.
No.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
No.
Greer. Green.
No.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Hutchings.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparic.
No.
Kirkbride.
No.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson.
Aye.
Lockhart.
No.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
No.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
No.
Northrup.
Aye.
Patton. Paxton.
No.
Petroff.
No.
Pieperinen.
Aye.
Reeder.
Aye.
Simlick.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Stubson.
No.
Teeters.
Aye.
Throne.
No.
Wallace excused. Walters.
No.
Watt.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
No.
Swanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 31 aye, 28 no, 1 excused.
Third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 104 has passed. We're now voted the third reading, or House Bill 104 having been read three separate times. The question is, shall the bill pass? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
No.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
No.
Flickery.
No.
Brown.
No.
Burkhart. Bird.
No.
Campbell.
No.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
No.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Filer.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
No.
Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Hutchings.
Yagi. Aye.
Kasparic.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
No.
Northrup.
Aye.
Patton.
No.
Paxton.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Pieperinen.
Aye.
Reeder.
Aye.
Simlick.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Stubson. Teeters.
Aye.
Throne.
No.
Wallace excused. Walters.
Aye.
Watt.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 46 aye, 13 no, 1 excused.
House Bill 104, having received the affirmative vote of a majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 104 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 105.
House Bill number 105, introduced by Representative Yagi, an act relating to concealed weapons, be enacted by the state of Wyoming.
There is an amendment. Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 105 and ask for your favorable consideration. And the good representative from the Senate of the State at the mic here and I worked on this together, and really this leaves the bill where it was yesterday. And the new parts on this amendment are at the bottom of page 1 on line 43, Romanet I, a person is a parent or legal guardian of a student currently enrolled in a school or school district facility. And then flip to page 2, line 2, upon entering the school or school district facility, the person notifies the principal of the school or other personal responsibility from the school district facility that the person intends to carry a concealed firearm into the school. So this allows parents and guardians of students of that school. And so I think we're at a pretty good spot on this bill where we left off. I did leave some information in your tray. I think the good speaker's comments were directed to folks who have been in the gallery, and I think that'll give you some background on the quote that was attributed to me, the quoted quote, I guess, from 2 days ago on first reading. And to make sure, we debate in the biggest fishbowl in Wyoming, and it is that way for a reason, as the people's house, and it's so important that the integrity and really the honesty, and that's the rules of debate. Somehow the honest truth will come out, and really we expect that from folks here too as well. So appreciate your support on the amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Croker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the amendments, I do want to state for the record that I felt the bill was better in its original form, but I felt that since the will of the body seemed to suggest that that was not going to be the case, I felt it was very important to at least add in the right of parents to have a right to carry so that they can defend themselves and their children if they are on school grounds. But I think this bill is too important not to pass, so I would urge you to support this so that we can pass it, because I think one of the most important things is the public message that it sends. One thing that we've seen that has been the case with 100% of the shootings that have taken place on school campuses is every single one of them was a gun-free zone. It was a place where law-abiding citizens were not allowed to protect and fight back if somebody showed up, and it made the children sitting targets and sitting ducks. I think the important thing with this bill, with this amendment, the fact that now there's a chance that firearms will be allowed in schools means that it is no longer a gun-free zone. The type of cowardly person who's only going to go shoot at people who can't shoot back now no longer will have that confidence. Even if not every school has a firearm in it, a shooter won't know that. The threat is there, that the potential is there, and I think that is a huge deterrent towards protecting our children. This amendment allows for that. Again, I would prefer the bill in its original form, but if that's not the case, I think this is a compromise that I'm willing to live with, because I think that ensuring our children's protection is that important. So I would ask you to support this amendment and support the bill. Thank you.
Anyone else for your first time? First time. Second time, Representative Blevins.
Good morning. I am standing up and do approve of the amendment. And I'm going to pass on some of my own experience of firearms in a school. This goes back to the University of Wyoming before we talked about weapons. And I was a student assistant in Big Mac, McIntyre Hall. And there was a call, there was an agitated student on the 11th floor, my floor, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Friday. So I went up, you know, that's my job, go up and talk to these kids, stepped off the elevator, turned right again, and began to step into that hallway, which is about 3 feet wide, and someone fired a .22 down the hall. And in fact, I was shot at more at the university than I was in my 27 years as a Navy pilot. So I think we need to have some caution. I think we need to be prudent. I think the good representative from has submitted a good amendment to make this bill palatable. So I am on the amendment for this bill.
Anyone else for their first time? First time, second time prior to the sponsor. Question having been called, we're voting on third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 105. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 105 has passed. We're now on third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 105. Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Folks, I'd like to move Third Reading Amendment Number 2 to House Bill 105. This just continues the discussion that we had yesterday, and I do appreciate what we're trying to do here. We are trying to make schools safer. We're trying to make our kids safer, and we're going about it just in a little bit different way, but I still appreciate everybody trying to do. This amendment is trying to get us back to the original bill that we had, with one exception. And the exception is, in letter D, nothing in this section shall authorize the current student of a school district to carry a concealed firearm on or into a facility of the school district. And that was an amendment. And we had a little bit of a discussion yesterday about, can 18-year-olds carry? And so we looked through there, and it was pointed out in 68104J, and so I looked at this, and I've looked at it a couple times, and it does say in B, it says 21-year-old, you have to be 21 to carry a handgun. In J, it says the sheriff or the law officer can, if he deems, make an exception and allow 18 through 21. And there's quite an extensive, I won't read it to you, but it isn't just a carte blanche, you come and ask the sheriff and he's going to issue. It is a little bit of a hassle to go through, and you have to have written letters and documentation of why we are going to allow 18 through 21. So I don't think it's going to be used, and I meant to get hold of how many 18, 21-year-olds have this exception. I don't think it's going to be very many, but it can happen, so I go along with this amendment. So I'll just let the discussion start. Thank you.
Chairman Teeters.
Mr. Speaker, this amendment is a lot like working the budget bill for a week and then having the Appropriations Committee come back on the last day and offer an amendment to change the budget bill all the way back to what they started with. We have, a lot of us, compromised and have struggled with how we got to where we are right now. Many of us are comfortable with the compromises that have been discussed on the floor, and I would urge the body to stick with the compromise.
Anyone else for their first time? First time. Second time prior to the sponsor. Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I appreciate those comments also. I just feel like we are trying to get back to our basic rights of the Constitution. And it says you can carry, and then we made this exception with the provisions that your background check, fingerprinted, you have competency. And I thought that was a good compromise to getting it in. The body, I can detect that you think the amendment that has been brought is a better way to go, and I will accept that. But I just wanted to do two things. One of the things, when we've called a question on an amendment, I've had a lot of people say, wow, we don't do that here. That makes me mad. I'm going to, you know, whatever it said. I honestly think we have the responsibility when we change a bill from its original intent, and this one just about could go to the Rules Committee, because we're talking about citizens, and we changed it to the employees. But I'll go along with that. I appreciate the work, the thought that's gone into it. But when we change it from its original intent to something new, I think our constituents have the right to know how we vote on that. It would be nice if we all had electronics and we could just push a button and record our vote. So when you call for the ayes and nays on a reading where you're changing, I think it's kind of protect you and letting your constituents know how you voted on this big change. And if that causes a problem with you, I'm a little bit, you know, I guess I don't care. But I want your constituents, I want my constituents to know how I voted on a bill that changed it from its original into something else. And again, this isn't a major change, and I stick up for the bill, and if that's the will, I will do it. But I will call for the ayes and the nays on this amendment, and then we'll vote on the bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Is there a second? Okay, the ayes and nays will be called on second reading or third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 105. Chairman's want or Representative's Wanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I haven't done this, I don't think, in 9 years, but according to Rule 8-5, can I just issue a protest against an action? This is getting tiring, so I would like to have it recorded in the journal that I'm protesting this. Thank you.
Your protest is duly noted. Chief Clerk, we're voting on third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 105. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Yeah.
Berger.
No.
Blake.
No.
Blevins.
No.
Blickrey.
No.
Brown.
No.
Burkhart.
No.
Bird.
No.
Campbell.
No.
Kennedy.
No.
Coleman.
No.
Connolly.
No.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
No.
Eklund. Esquivel.
No.
Filer.
No.
Freeman.
No.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
No.
Goggles.
No.
Greer.
No.
Green.
No.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
No.
Harvey.
No.
Hunt.
No.
Hutchings.
No.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparic.
No.
Kirkbride.
No.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
No.
Larson.
No.
Lockhart. Loux.
Aye.
Madden.
No.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
No.
Nicholas.
No.
Northrup.
No.
Patton.
No.
Paxton.
No.
Petroff.
No.
Pieperinen.
Aye.
Reeder.
Aye.
Simlick.
No.
Summers.
No.
Stubson.
No.
Teeters.
No.
Throne.
No.
Wallace excused. Walters.
No.
Watt.
Aye.
Wilson. Winters.
No.
Swanitzer Dan.
No.
Swanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 12 aye, 47 no, 1 excused.
Third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 105 has failed. House Bill 105 having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker. Barlow.
No.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
No.
Blickrey. Blickrey.
No.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
No.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
No.
Connolly.
No.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Filer.
No.
Freeman.
No.
Gay. Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Hutchings.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparic.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Loux.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas. Northrup.
No.
Patton.
No.
Paxton.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Pieperinen.
Aye.
Reeder.
Aye.
Simlick.
Aye.
Summers.
No.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Throne.
No.
Wallace excused. Walters.
Aye.
Watt.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
No.
Sponsor Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? Representative Madden? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 46 aye, 13 no, 1 excused.
House Bill 105, having received the affirmative vote of a majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 105 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 132.
House Bill 132 is introduced by Representative Harvey. An act relating to the Chiropractic Licensing Act be enacted by the State of Wyoming.
House Bill 132, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger. Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Blickery.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
No.
Bird.
No.
Campbell.
No.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Filer.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
No.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Green. Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
No.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Hutchings.
No.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparic.
No.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
No.
Larson.
Aye.
Lockhart.
No.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Paxton. Petroff, Piperinen, Reeder, Semlick, Summers, Stubson, Teeters, Throne, Wallace excused, Walters, Watt, Wilson, Winters, Zwanitzer Dan, Zwanitzer Dave, Mr. Speaker, I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Croker, aye to no. Are there any other changes? Hutchings? Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 48 aye, 11 no, 1 excused.
House Bill 132, having received the affirmative vote of a majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 132 has passed the House. Representative Yagi, privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Again, it's not very often we have people drive all the way over from Bridger Valley, but again, from the oasis of southwest Wyoming, the Bridger Valley, we have the mayor and town councilman, Andy Hewitt and Jana Condis, come over to see us in action. Would you welcome them?
Welcome to the House. Representative Hutchings.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like privilege of the floor just to remind the body that Triumph High School students are providing box lunches in the Herschler Building starting at 11.
The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 212.
House Bill 212 is introduced by Representative Throne, an act relating to cities, towns, and counties be enacted by the State of Wyoming.
House Bill 212, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Blickery.
Aye.
Brown. Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Filer.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Gingery, aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Greer,
aye.
Green,
aye.
Halverson,
no.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Hutchings,
no.
Yagi,
aye.
Kasparic,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
no.
Crone,
aye.
Larson,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
no.
Miller,
Moniz,
Nicholas, Northrup,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Petroff, Petroff,
aye.
Piperinen,
no.
Reeder,
aye.
Semlick,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Peters.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace excused. Walters.
No.
Watt.
No.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Davison, aye to no. Watt, no to aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 51 aye, 8 no, 1 excused.
House Bill 212, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 212 has passed the House. The last bill on third reading for our consideration today is House Bill 216.
House Bill 216 is introduced by Representative Brown. An act relating to crimes and offenses be enacted by the state of Wyoming.
House Bill 216, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Flickery.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel. Filer, Freeman, Gay, Gingery, Goggles, Greer, Green, Halverson, Harshman, Harvey, Hunt, Hutchings, Yagi, Kasparic, Kirkbride, Croker, Crone, Larson, Lockhart, Laux, Madden, McKim, Miller, Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Petroff, Pieperinen, Reeder,
aye.
Semlick,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace excused, Walters,
aye.
Watt,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused.
House Bill 216, having received the affirmative vote of a majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 216 has passed the House. We're at that order of business of consideration of bills on general file. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, there's a new general file list in your inbox. I couldn't even hold the original list long enough to get to the first bill. My intention today would be to go through House Bill 234. Perhaps we can find a sense of urgency and get that done. Mr. Speaker, I move the House resolve itself into Committee of the Whole.
You've heard the motion. All in favor of resolving into Committee of the Whole, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. House has resolved itself into Committee of the Whole. Representative Kirkbride.
Committee of the Whole will please come to order. Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Privilege of the floor.
Yes. Proceed.
Thank you. Members, if you'll look in your trays, I think you have a new goldenrod, and I think this will be one of the last times I point this out, unless you... But if you'll look on the first page, on that all-important line, number 6, and if you keep these in kind of just a folder where you just stack the newest one on top of the oldest one, it works pretty slick, or maybe you can clip them together, but you notice that at line number 6 has had an increase. It's $500,000 more than it was yesterday, and there was a Senate file that we won't have to deal with. It had $550,000 in it that didn't make it through the process, so hence the goldenrod has a little more money on it. The next thing, Mr. Chairman, is just to point out in your tray, members, and we wanted to distribute these to you before the weekend.
The Joint Appropriations Committee, or the, excuse me, the House Appropriations Committee will work off this cheat sheet when we work the budget next week. And you members who are returning, you'll say, well, that looks like a miniature cheat sheet. And what we did is really eliminate several of these columns in the middle that had all zeros, if you remember. They didn't mean really anything. And we're able to kind of condense this and I think get the proper information. So if you look at that, the first column is the biennial appropriation. The first agency is Agency 1, the governor's office. And you can see under programs that the overall budget was $7.6 million. You can see the supplemental request by the governor of $4.8 million. Now, what that really is was $5 million for data centers and then some of his cuts. And so the supplemental was about $4.8. You can see that we did not adopt the governor's recommendations for the data centers. And then so it reduced then. You can see the reduction at the total down there of $4.8 million in that supplemental JAC changes. So you can follow it across, and then you can get the totals of all the divisions at the bottom of that. So the supplemental appropriation, the budget bill was $13.9 million for this agency, and today as we leave it is $13.4 million. So we'll go over this now. The last thing are the notes at the bottom, and these are things you can look over the weekend if you care to, but we've organized it in such a way that number one then is always going to be the reductions. So each member of the Appropriations Committee who has their specific agency will go over the reductions first. The next one, number two, is generally going to be the ETS transfers, and those are those technology positions as we're transferring to a new agency, Enterprise Technology. And that's why your budget book is so thick. Again, I'm not using the word big because it's one of the smallest supplemental budgets ever. We're not spending very much money, frankly. But the size of the budget is huge because we had to go into every agency. So next year when you come back, folks who are newly elected, it'll be the same size budget book, okay? And so that's the ETS transfers. And then in this particular agency, the governor's office, 3 and 4, 3 talks about governor's letters. We'll talk about those on Monday, 4. And then number 5 is just a cleanup with the FINERPA account. So each member will present that to you. But we wanted to get these out so if there's a particular agency you're interested in, you can look it over, you can track it in the budget bill itself. We'll point out as we go through, we'll say page number 1 of your cheat sheet, page number 6 of your budget bill. A lot of times when I would sit out there, I would have them both out and I'd kind of run my finger along both if I cared to know a little more about a certain agency. So with that, I'd stand for any questions or have fun, I guess, a little homework for the weekend. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Chairman Harshman. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 187. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 187 is introduced by Representative Stubson, an act relating to campaign finance reporting, modifying persons required to file campaign receipts reports, removing a requirement that contributors annually renew their consent to automatic contributions, limiting contributions by political action committees, adjusting contribution limits to candidates for statewide political office, requiring amendments of campaign finance reports as specified, providing and modifying criminal penalties, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman, Committee Number 3, Revenue, to whom was referred House Bill 96, Elections, Ballot Access, and Registration, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blickery, Eklund, Goggles, Kirkbride, Laux, Madden, Northrup, Petroff, and Simlick, further reviewed by your Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Divisions, to whom was referred House Bill 187, Campaign Finance, as they make the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representative Berger, Blickery, Byrd, Green, Kirkbride, Paxton, Petroff, Dan's one, and sir excused was Representative Gay, signed by Representative Berger, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill 187 do pass And I would further move Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 187, and I would ask for your favorable aye vote. I will defer to the good sponsor of the bill to explain the amendment, and then if we can take care of that, dispense with that, and we can move on to the bill.
Representative Stubson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I thought it was that point in the session where I should bring a bill before this body that we could all agree on, and I do so in the form of House Bill 187. This is a bill that deals with a number of issues that have kind of been swirling out there in our campaign finance laws for a number of years, and it tries to take a balanced approach to capping some loopholes that create avenues for mischief, but also raising some limits so that it makes it a little easier for some of our candidates to raise money and get their word out as they campaign around the state. And really, there's a number of pieces to the bill, but the two biggest pieces impact the amount that PACs can give to campaigns and the amount that individuals can give to statewide candidates. And on page 2, you'll see the change to the donation limits for those to statewide candidates, and it raises those from the same as they are for all other candidates, the $1,000 per election, to $2,500 per election for statewide candidates. So creating the ability for individuals to give more to statewide candidates and hopefully make it a little easier for statewide candidates to raise money and get their word out. And then what we've done on PACs is kind of taken the opposite approach. And really the philosophical underpinnings of this approach are to try to get money that is flowing to campaigns into a way that it's more easily identified. And you know, individual campaign donations are kind of out there. It's hard to hide them. It's pretty easy to see what's going on. Sometimes PACs, it's difficult to see. You know, you have Citizens for a Better Wyoming, and you have no idea what their agenda is, who they are, and so this is trying to create at least a little bit of an incentive towards individual donations. But caps over the last few years have had no limits at all. And we had an interesting situation in my own county about 8 years ago where there was a candidate that was running. She spent, I think, about $11,500 on a race, and $11,000 of that came from one PAC. And there's just, especially in some of our smaller races, when you take a complete lid off PACs, it creates all sorts of avenues for mischief. And so what we have done with this bill is put caps on, and this is where I'll refer you to the standing committee amendment. The initial caps put in the bill were the same caps as for individuals. Testimony in the committee indicated that it would be prudent to raise those, and I agree with that move, and maybe we can take care of that right now. The standing committee amendment doubles those amounts to $5,000 per election for statewide candidates and $2,000 per election for other candidates. And if there are no questions on the standing committee amendment, maybe we can take a vote on that.
You've heard the motion on the standing committee amendment. Are you ready for the question? Question having been called for, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The standing committee amendment number 1 has been adopted. We are back on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And just quickly, the other changes you'll see on page 4, there is a requirement for PACs to go out and every, so if you're doing, say, an automatic deduction to a PAC, they have to go out every year and get your signature on that. And a lot of PACs have, I mean, it's sort of a bureaucratic nightmare and a logistic nightmare. And so this just says you do have to get written permission still, but you just don't have to go out and re-up it every year. And then on page 6, those changes are really to prevent inadvertent violation and inadvertent criminalization of campaign issues. And so we've made clear that those punishments contained, for example, in C, only come about if you've been convicted previously or if you've been convicted upon a failure. It's not just somebody out there determines you failed, but you have to actually be convicted of a failure under the statute. And then the misdemeanor penalties in D, again, they come about only after I'm sorry. It just clarifies when those come in. So with that, I'd take any questions that you may have on the bill. But again, this is an attempt to kind of close some loopholes, but increase some limits. It's, I think, a balanced approach to look at some of the issues we've had in our campaign finance laws.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Are you ready for the question? Representative Patton.
Just a question. It's speaking on and for the bill, but on page 2, line 19, just a question there. No contribution for the general election may be given prior to the date of the primary election. Perhaps a friendly amendment, which I don't propose, but ask the author to consider, you can carry over to the general election the balance and the candidate's campaign account, presuming that we have one, they can carry that over to the general election without violating that particular clause.
Representative Stubson.
Mr. Chairman, you know, I don't really have any strong feelings one way or the other on that particular issue. Sometimes it's easier if you have a bright line test that you just don't get to accept any of those funds for the general election prior to the primary. But like I say, I don't really have any strong feelings one way or the other.
Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a question, and kind of going along with the last one, is the contribution in the general election. My general election was the election, and it says on my primary election was the main election because there wasn't anybody running. So I'm wondering about B on page 3, no contribution for the general election may be given prior to. If you had those, I mean, that's the way it is right now. Can you help me understand? So you're putting it in for statewide on page 2, but that's the way it is right now, and we might need to tinker with that a little bit. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Representative Stubson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As the good representative points out, that's the language that is there and has been there for quite some time, and so we've just mirrored that on the statewide candidates because it's been equally applicable to them. And, you know, that, to my mind, at least to my knowledge, hasn't been an issue, and certainly in talking to the folks downstairs, they haven't brought that up as an issue, so I didn't feel the need to include it in the bill.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Question being called. All those in favor of representatives Berger's motion that the Committee of the Whole rise to report it, do so with the recommendation that Bill number 187 do pass. Please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
House Bill 187 is passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 206. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 206. It's introduced by Representative Dan Zwanitzer, an act relating to public utilities, exempting from regulation as a public utility metered or direct sales of water by a producer or other person to this tenant as specified, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom is referred House Bill 206, Exemption from Water Utilities, respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Berger, Blickery, Byrd, Kirkbride, Paxton, Petroff, Dan Zwanitzer, no vote, Representative Green, and one excuse, Representative Gay, signed by Representative Berger, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Berger?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill 206 do pass, and I turn over the explanation of the bill to Representative Zwanitzer.
Representative Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. House Bill 206 is an exemption in the regulated utility statutes that address water usage. And so here's a situation. I'll try to keep it at a very simple level for the sake of expediency. Imagine you are a landlord of an apartment complex or a trailer park As the current law stands, you have two options with your water. You either charge each resident the same fee based on the entire usage of all of your tenants and divide by the number of tenants, and everybody pays the same flat fee, or you charge each resident their actual usage of that water, and you fall under the regulated utility statute. So you actually basically become a regulated utility under the law. And so, which requires, you know, the distributor, they have to go before the PSC and ask for rate changes. And so every time your local water district changes the rate of water, you have to go before the Public Service Commission and seek a rate change, which is a whole lot of bureaucratic nightmare and mess, which we make these entities do under the law. And so right now these entities are finding creative ways around the law when they get caught up in this mess. The easiest is just to form themselves into a water district, which is technically allowable, but it's not really what those statutes are meant for. So the real issue with this bill is fairness. The PSC, they don't have the capability to go out and bring all the people that are technically currently in violation of this law into the fold right now. So the system we have in place is that if nobody complains, that, you know, the PSC doesn't come investigate you, but if somebody does complain, they do, and you really have three choices. You either follow law and become regulated utility and go through that bureaucratic nightmare, and we only have one of these in the state, and that's why I'm bringing you this bill. Your other option is to go back to charging all of your residents or your tenants the same amount, the entire amount of water divided by the number of tenants, or you find a creative way of getting around this by becoming something like a water district. So, you know, we heard testimony in committee that when you're a landlord and you have to divide the rate among all of your tenants equally, everyone in your complex, they use more water than they should because they don't much care about wasting water. When you individually charge for their water usage, everybody uses less water, which makes good economic sense and makes good environmental sense. So what this bill presents is a very narrow exemption for regulation from people who are really doing the right thing. There are still stipulations in the bill that if you're doing the wrong thing and you're charging unjust charges or fees or something, you can be investigated and still held accountable. But this exempts this utility, not electric or gas or telecom or anything else, just water from the PSC oversight if they're doing the right thing and trying to save water and treat their residents fairly. I would be happy to stand for any questions.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Are you ready for the question? Question being called, all those in favor of Representative Berger's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rise to report it, do so with the recommendation that Bill number 206 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill 206 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 181. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 181, as presented by Representative Madden, an act relating to county officers providing for retention of outside counsel by county officers upon arrival of the Board of County Commissioners, providing for retention of outside counsel by boards of county commissioners in all matters the board seems appropriate, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman, in Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred House Bill 181, County Officer Authority to Retain Outside Counsel, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Berger, Blickley, Byrd, Green, Kirkbride, Paxton, Petroff. Those who voted no, Representative Dan Zwanitzer, one excused, Representative Gay. Signed by Representative Berger, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Berger?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill 181 do pass. And I would like to also move at this time the Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 181 and ask for your favorable consideration. Basically, we had to add another subsection in there, restrictions upon employment of attorneys in relations to county commissioners' duties and the necessity of employment. So if there are no questions on the Standing Committee Amendment, I would ask for a favorable aye.
You've heard the motion on the Standing Committee Amendment. Are you ready for the question? Question having been called, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, no. Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 has been adopted. We're back on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I now turn over the explanation of the bill to Chairman Madden.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, I think the most efficient way to go over this is actually to go through the bill and see how it amends 18.3.302, paragraph C. And if you really, you go to page 2 here, and it says that nothing in this section, starting on page 1, nothing in this section or any other Wyoming statute shall be construed to prevent the county commissioners of any county or consolidation of counties or any county officer upon approval of the Board of County Commissioners from either employing one or more attorneys, and it goes on with existing language, and then it says finally from employing one or more attorneys to provide the county commissioners or any county officer upon approval of the county board of commissioners legal advice independent of the county prosecuting attorney in any matter the board deems appropriate. And then it finally says the board of county commissioners is solely responsible to determine the necessity of the employment, but it shall state, but the commissioner shall state it in the record of the board or boards. Okay, with that in mind, I've got a handout that has my name on it, and it kind of gives you a justification for the need of this simple bill. And it's got my name on the bottom, and it also says it House Bill 181. And what I've done here is lifted out the relevant statutes that refer to employment of other attorneys by the county. And you can go start with 18.3.302, and you see that each county attorney, the way it reads, each county attorney shall act in all courts in the state as legal counsel for his county or counties and its officers acting in their official capacity, and prosecute or defend all suits instituted by or against his county or county or its officers. So that seems to say that the county attorney is expected to act on as legal counsel when it comes to prosecuting or defending suits and things like that. It also says in Romanet 2, upon the request of any county officer of his county, or in other words, give his opinion in writing upon the request of any county officer of his county or counties without fee. And so that more or less says the county attorney shall provide written statements of opinions upon the request of county officers. Okay, so it kind of looks, I think you see what that first part of the of Rome, or of paragraph A does. And then you get down to, there's some other things in here, but the other relevant thing is we get down to C, and it says, nothing in this section shall be construed to prevent the county commissioners of any county or consolidation of counties from employing one or more attorneys to appear and prosecute or defend or assist a county prosecuting attorney on behalf of the people of state or such county as or consolidation of counties in any action or proceeding, whether civil or criminal. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is the section. This is the subparagraph C here is the section this bill addresses. It modifies it as I have outlined it to you. And the question is, well, why is this necessary? And for one thing, you can see right here, it really doesn't address the need for specialized, occasional, simple, I guess it's not simple, but complex, specialized legal advice. So that's the core of it. And then there's some other statutes. If you go to 18-3520, somewhat later in the statute, it says, no attorney shall be employed by the Board of County Commissioners except as provided by WS 18-2110. And the nature and necessity of employment shall appear in the record of the board. And for your convenience, I just wrote what 18.2.110 is. It says, All legal proceedings against the county process shall be served on the Board of County Commissioners or any member thereof, and they may, in the absence of the county attorney, employ an attorney to defend them, for which they may make an appropriation from the general or county general fund. And so that kind of begs the question, well, what constitutes absence? Is you know, conflicts of interest and things like that part of what determines absence, or is it just being incapacitated or out of town or what it happens to mean? So when you look at all of these statutes that I've got on this one single page, and you ask yourself, well, can a county commission in their best interest, can they go out and seek specialized legal advice on some matter that appears before them in the agenda? And you say, well, on one hand, I guess they can, and on the other hand, it says, I guess maybe they can't. If you look at 18.3.5.20, maybe they can't. You look at 18.3.3.02, paragraph C, yeah, maybe they can. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's what this is all about. It isn't so much that the various parts of the statute are in conflict with one another, but it just seems like they're not totally consistent either. And that's why the language, that's what brings forth the language that I've got in the bill. In a kind of a summarized fashion here, all it does is reiterate and highlight the fact that county commissioners have the responsibility to determine the need for specialized legal counsel. And when I say that, you know, when this statute was first done, there probably wasn't so much of an issue on specialized legal counsel, but there's all kinds of things, you know, that's evolved, just like in the medical field. You've got general practitioners, and then you've got heart specialists, and once in a while, particularly if you have a bad heart, you might get that first signal from your general practitioner, but to find out really what the next course of action is, you might need some more specialized advice, in this case medical advice. But the same thing is true when it comes to attorneys, and we talk about these changes in water law. Another issue that we found that comes up is in employment law and wrongful dismissal. And we can't, especially in these small counties, we can't automatically assume that some of these part-time attorneys or whatever happens to be employed as the county attorney has the right level of expertise or the specialized expertise to protect the county's interest. And all we're saying in this bill is that the best determinant of that is the county commission itself. If you look back in the history of how county governments operate, in practice, this has been used, and sometimes it goes and proceeds without any controversy. But yet, when county commissioners look at this, they say, well, you know, it just looks like it isn't totally clear that we can go out and seek this legal advice. This is overwhelmingly supported by the organization that represents county governments, I think that, you know, it's very clear that if this is passed, that we do have a pretty unambiguous new statute or a modification of the statute that makes it clear that county commissioners are the determinant of when they think legal advice is needed. And I want to point out again also that it doesn't mean any county officer, like a road and bridge supervisor, can go out and hire an attorney. That's not the case. Any specialized legal advice can only be determined, whether it's any other county officer, can be determined by the county commission. So that's the bill, and if there's any questions, I'll try to answer it. Thank you.
Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Both myself and Representative Crone would like to speak on the bill. However, we have potentially a conflict, and it's been suggested to us that we call the Rules Committee to consult with the Rules Committee before we speak on the bill, if we could call the Rules Committee.
Okay. Would the Rules Committee come to the front, please? Rules Committee has determined there is not a conflict. Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The reason we were concerned is we both do serve as deputy county attorneys in our respective counties, and so I just wanted to clarify that. As to the bill, I just wanted to explain a little bit more about how the process works in a county. The county attorney, the elected county attorney, and it's actually, he has a longer title. He's actually the county and prosecuting attorney. That's actually two separate jobs he has. The prosecuting attorney aspect is the prosecution of all criminal statutes on behalf of the state of Wyoming within that county. The first part of his title, county attorney, he's the civil attorney. He represents all the interests of the commissioners, treasurer, sheriff, coroner, clerk of the district court, all the different elected officials, all the departments of the county, he's their attorney. In many counties, they have a scenario where you have a criminal division and a civil division, where you'll have some of the deputies are criminal prosecutors and some of the prosecutors are actually civil deputies. I actually am the chief of our civil division in my county, and I do that. The issue becomes, so each one of these elected officials are separate and independent. The Board of Commissioners has no power over any of the other elected officials other than their budget. They can budget them, but they actually can't go into their line items. What they can do is, what do you want this year? The sheriff says, I need X, and the commissioners give that amount of money. But within that budget, that's completely the control of the sheriff. Policies, everything's the control of that particular elected official. They cannot overlap each other. And there's a bunch of actually statutes about their ability to stay independent. And it's a good system because we have a very independent county system where each independent elected official is independent of each other. And there's a lot of checks and balances. One of the major checks and balances in county government is that you have an elected county attorney. And to explain that, let me give the opposite of what goes on sometimes in municipalities. In a municipality, the mayor hires the attorney. So the attorney serves at the whim of the mayor. If you're not doing a good job or the mayor, for whatever reason, doesn't like the legal opinion you're giving, the mayor can actually let you go. That is why it works so well in counties, because there's independence of legal counsel. Because here's what happens a lot in county government. They want to do something very specific. It doesn't meet with the law. And you tell them that. You can't actually, you know, give each of yourselves, you know, $100, or you can't go to Vegas, or whatever they're trying to do that week. And you say, you can't do that. And they're like, well, we're going to do it anyway, and we're going to go find us a different attorney to give us a different opinion. That's why it's the beauty. And plus, it also serves a great purpose in that the attorney can actually speak their mind. The attorney can really say what they're really thinking. Listen, guys, this is a bad idea. Let me tell you why this is a bad idea legally. And you give your legal opinion, and you give it with the understanding that they can't fire you. They're not actually your boss. And I know that sounds very different than what we're used to in the attorney-client relationship. But in county government, it's a very different relationship. You're independent. You give the advice, but they cannot fire you. Now, they can complain to your boss, the elected county attorney, and that could happen, and that certainly would happen if you're doing an extremely poor job. Here's what's happening here is, I get it. There was a really bad fact scenario that happened in one particular county. What happened in that county should not have happened. Bad facts make bad law. We shouldn't change the law because one county had a bad situation. And I totally agree that was a bad situation they had there. They had an attorney that, for whatever reason, you know, did what he did. That's not how most counties operate. Here's what normally happens. Let's say you need to hire an attorney that is a specialist in something. You need a water law attorney, or you need an employment law attorney. Now, most of these county attorney's offices are getting, they have all that expertise already actually built into their place. But sometimes you need to go find that. The county attorney has to approve of it. And what this bill is doing is going around the county attorney. It's allowing the Board of County Commissioners to go hire an attorney and not ask permission of the county attorney to go do that. Right now, and you can see this in the amendment, there's the statute. What the statute read is, no attorney shall be employed by the Board of County Commissioners except as provided in 18.2.110. 18.2.110 is if it's vacant, if there's no one in the position. You know, they died or they resigned or something. But any other time, they can't hire anyone unless the county attorney says, yes, you can go hire someone to do that. That's a good system because it's keeping those checks and balances. What this bill does is remove the checks and balances and allows the Board of County Commissioners to go and cherry pick and find a legal opinion that they're looking for. The other issue that I have with this bill is in the very first part of, on page 2, it says on line 2, or any county officer upon approval of the Board of County Commissioners. What that's implying is that the Board of County Commissioners actually have power over the sheriff, over the clerk, over the treasurer, over the assessor, over the clerk of the district court, over the coroner. All these other elected officials suddenly will have to bow down to the great and mighty Board of County Commissioners. That's not how our county system works. They're all independent elected officials. They shouldn't have to go and ask permission. Occasionally, a county assessor will need to hire an outside counsel, or the clerk will, or the treasurer. That's handled very nicely right now. They come to the county attorney. They say, hey, I need an attorney with this type of taxation expertise. They say, fine, we will actually find that for you. We'll find that attorney for you and work with you. The system is working in 22 counties. We don't need to write a law because the system's not working in one county. If this problem continues to persist and it starts to move to other counties, yeah, then we can come back and look at a restructuring of how county government works. But I would urge you to vote no on this bill and not make specialized legislation for one county.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Representative Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. you know, I guess we really can't argue, or I can't really argue that, in, you know, most of the time, the system right now works well. Most of the time, the people in Wyoming aren't criminals. But, you know, it doesn't mean that because most of the time there's no lawbreakers of certain laws, it doesn't mean we can't have some kind of a check and balance on the ones that require that. And to say that for those special situations in which a county says no, a county attorney says no, that, well, you know, that's just one county, that's just one unique situation. And, you know, we had testimony during the committee meeting that it isn't one county. There is two or three county commissioners or former county commissioners that provided anecdotal examples of when specialized legal assistance is needed. And you know, for example, there's one case where there was a question about entering into a water agreement that would have had a 50-year life on it. Well, that, you know, you make a mistake on something like that, you want to do everything to protect yourself from making a mistake like that, and that is why specialized legal advice is important. You know, take your own private lives. You know, nobody would want to have 50-year decisions for your life being determined by someone that can guarantee his legal opinion is the only legal opinion that you can accept. And I guess that's all I want to say on it. It's not I didn't have any idea this was going to be a big deal, because the kind of things we're talking about, 90% of it's already in the existing statute. And I guess I would urge you to support this bill, and if not, tell me where the hang-ups are, if there's an amendment needed or something like that. I can see it, but I don't see how this is going to cause undue harm to existing attorneys. We have some counties that don't even have a full-time county attorney, and clearly this seems like a good avenue for them. So I urge your support of the bill.
Representative Paxton.
Mr. Chairman, on and for the bill, this is another one of the issues that is really high on the priority list of the county commissioners who they've all voted on it. They strongly support it. It is an issue in more than one county. It's not an isolated instance. The other thing is, I think we need to keep in mind that the county attorney and the county commissioners are all elected officials. One should not be subordinate to the other. I don't think as a county commissioner we should have to go ask permission of the county attorney to hire someone, especially when that money is coming out of a different budget. It's not the money that's been budgeted for the county attorney's office. That's a separate account totally. So on and for the bill.
Representative Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and against the bill. And I mean, you heard my no vote in committee, and I'm not saying it's a horribly bad thought, but I would like to say, just back to process and how we do these things. Every other time we have a bill that affects all the county officers, like this bill does, each one of those county offices, they have a contingent, an association, where they come in and say their entire association supports this. In this case, we didn't hear from those that the association made up of all the county treasurers, or the association made up of all the county clerks, or the county sheriffs, or any of those other county officers coming in and saying, as an association, we support this. All we heard is one county official lobbyist group came in and said, we want this power over what I would say is a separately elected county official position. And so it's probably not a horrible idea, and there's probably some necessity someday for this. But just the way that this bill is going about, and it's effective immediately, it doesn't pass the feel right test at this time. And so that's why I'd ask you to vote no. There's some work we can do on this in the interim, make it a better bill, restructure it, get a lot more input. This one's just one of those that I'm not sure the body should pass at this time. Thank you.
Majority Floor Leader Brown.
Mr. Chairman, on and for this bill,
21 of the 23 counties have only one attorney. Our two largest counties have two attorneys. One's the criminal guy, the other's the civil guy. In the 21 counties, the one attorney does both the civil and the criminal work. And I would submit, and you can ask yourself this question, I would submit that in most elections, when you vote on the county attorney, you're thinking about the prosecutor hat. You're thinking about the one that's going to represent the county, prosecute crimes, put people in jail, do juvenile diversions, manage all that sort of stuff. But there's another hat that that attorney's wearing, and that's the civil hat. He may be a good civil attorney. He may be one who says, you know, I don't know anything about that stuff. I do criminal law. There are some like that. I don't think that that person ought to be the gatekeeper on whether another attorney can be hired or not. If the clerk of the district court or the county clerk or the assessor goes to the commissioners and says, look, I've got a problem that for whatever reason, I don't think our county attorney ought to handle. I think we ought to hire outside counsel. I think that option ought to be provided. And that's all this bill does is give that option. It's got to have the concurrence of the county commissioners, and there are good reasons for it. And to say that the county attorney can be the gatekeeper and can prevent other elected officials from having outside counsel, I think is wrong. And remember, it can only happen if the county commissioners concur. They're the ultimate gatekeeper on the system. So on and for the bill, I really think it does what we need to do for our other elected officials in the county.
Minority Floor Leader Throne. Okay. Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would just point out that nowhere in the bill does it say specialty attorney. You could still hire a specialty attorney, by the way. That happens all the time. We just go through a process. What this bill is, and now that I heard the majority floor leader speak, now I clearly understand what this bill is. This is a backdoor attempt to totally get rid of our county attorney system and move solely to a prosecutor system. That is what there's been a movement to do this, and that's what this bill does. Because what this bill allows the county commissioners to do doesn't say specialty. They can now go hire a county attorney, just their own, and that's going to be the person. A full-time county attorney can now be hired that's not an elected official. It's an attempt to make sure we don't have elected officials and that we start moving to the system of appointing our officials. I strongly oppose this. And by the way, this idea that there's just one attorney, I'll just give an example of my county. Yeah, you got the one attorney at the top, but then you got three criminal attorneys, and then you got three civil attorneys. So it's not as if there's just one attorney doing all the work. There's multiple deputies. Now, I would urge you to vote no on this bill. This bill will allow a county commission to go hire their own attorney, and next election, I guess on the ballot, we'll just put prosecuting attorney because the county attorney aspect will no longer be part of the job.
Minority Floor Leader Throne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think the good chairman of judiciary isn't fully considering the effects in smaller counties where maybe they don't have such a large staff, and the commissioners can really, and other elected officials might really need another legal opinion. This just gives them the flexibility. Now, this isn't an issue in my county, and I think I won't go into this much because I think the majority floor leader explained it well. But just to emphasize, in two counties, number one in your hearts and number two that really should be number one, our officials, our county commissioners, can fire their civil attorney at any time they choose. They hire the county attorney, and if they don't like the job the county attorney is doing, they can go out and get another one. Our smaller counties, of course, just have the one elected official, and there might be limited circumstances where they really feel the need to get a separate opinion. And I don't think this is some grand scheme to eliminate the elected county attorney position, but mainly to allow smaller counties the flexibility to seek additional legal advice when they deem it necessary and they want to spend the money on it because they're not going to get it for free.
Speaker Lobno.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In one of my other lives, I represent a large government entity as a private attorney, but I'm their general counsel. They're larger in terms of dollars than some of the counties in this state. It's a $200 million a year operation. And as that private attorney, I am as good as the last piece of advice that I give that entity. And so I work very, very hard to give good advice to that entity and maintain my relationship with that client. This isn't about getting rid of the county attorney system, and it isn't about getting rid of the prosecution system. What it's about is getting the best legal advice for our county commissions possible. And on some topics and in some situations, and particularly the situation that I'm familiar with in the county just to the west of mine, the Board of County Commissioners doesn't have confidence in the quality of the legal advice that they're getting. And politics shouldn't enter into the quality of legal advice, and county attorneys shouldn't be the gatekeeper to a Board of County Commission who doesn't have confidence in the advice of the attorney. Now, the county commissioners are held accountable by the public because if they're paying somebody additional dollars to be that attorney and provide that advice, they're accountable to the public for why did you spend that extra money. And so what we're looking at is developing a system where our governmental boards and agencies get the best legal advice on an issue that they possibly can do it. And I know in some areas of law, I'm not an expert. And my client may look to somebody else as an expert, and sometimes they adhere to the adage that you're not a prophet until you cross the state line. But that's fine because they have to be confident in the legal advice that they give so that they could make the policy decisions that they need to make. And the legal advisor shouldn't be the dictator or controller of policy for an organization. They should give legal advice. And the finest example of that was the last attorney general under the former governor who would say, I will tell you what's legal, what's not legal, and the effects of the law. I'm not going to tell you what to do because you're the policymakers. And that should be the role of a legal advisor. And if the elected county attorney is getting in the way of our county commissioners making the best decision, then we should give him that tool, and that's all that this bill does.
Representative Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To gently push back on the speaker, I think this bill does a lot more than that, actually. And politics has entered into this. That's why it's got to this body. That's why we have a bill in front of us, and that's why we're debating it, because it didn't work itself out, and it got political, and now it's here to the legislature. And I'm all for developing a system, and a system can always work a little bit better. But I right now say the system isn't broken. We have a small disagreement for the first time we've had in a while, I guess, or I've never seen this bill before, so I can't imagine the system has been broken. But making that, like, radical immediate change to switch the system, I don't think that's appropriate for this body to do based on, you know, one issue right now in one of our 23 counties. And so what this bill also does, and this is why I think it's a lot broader than what we've discussed, is it allows all of the county officials to hire their own outside counsel based on the prerogative of a Board of County Commissioners. And so as long as that Board of County Commissioners, let's say there's only three, as long as two of those three people, and we all know how politics works, sometimes even more in small counties, you get two people on the ballot at the same time in a county commission, and they run on a certain platform, they come in, they say, hey, we now have control of the commission, we have control of the books, we can do what we want, we can hire... There are issues in counties, and sometimes county officials don't get along, and that's why we have a system of checks and balances in place. And so I'd just ask you, before we make a pendulum shift to disrupt that system further to the other side, that you give the committee at least maybe an interim session to study it and look at it, to hear from the other county officials to make sure this bill isn't effective immediately, because that just causes me all sorts of concern, and I'm not sure why it's effective immediately when most of our bills are effective July 1st. but it does allow for some more study and some more input from all the other county officials. We made a big policy change, I think, 9 or 10 years ago in this body, and we allowed all of our elected officials to have their own council. And I think many of us remember how that all worked out for us. And so now we're talking about doing the same thing and letting the county commissioners, if the majority of a board, and sometimes it's two people, or sometimes 3 out of 5, make these decisions, and then you're pitting county officers against one another. This is a big step. I mean, I see it as a radical change, so maybe others don't see it that big. But the degree of the level of mischief that it allows for, I think, is significant. Whether any of that will actually happen, who knows? But I like tighter laws more than I like expanded laws that say, oh, we're not going to use these for anything that we're not intending, because I think we all know in here sometimes unintended consequences happen. So I'd ask you to vote no on the bill.
Representative Blickery.
Mr. Chairman, I think that you should know that the way I read this bill, and I think it says it in there, that the commissioners who are elected to manage the county, you know, or they have to approve any attorney that would be hired. So I guess other departments could hire an attorney, but I think they would have to have the commission approve it.
Representative Semlick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I listened very carefully to our good chairman of Judiciary when he told us about the two distinct responsibilities that the county attorney has in our counties. And one of them was the prosecuting responsibility, and the other was the kind of the civil representation to the other elected officials. So my question is, if we change the process that we have set up now, where the civil responsibilities of our county attorney is somewhat bypassed, and any of the county elected officials, let's say the county commissioners, make a decision based on a legal advice that hasn't went through the kind of the oversight of the county attorney, is the county attorney expected to defend that decision that some other legal advice came from some other legal advice that he doesn't agree with? I guess I'd like to know. Thank you.
Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It would make it difficult, as the last speaker said, that if you're hiring one attorney and they're giving them advice, and then what happens normally is then we get sued, the county, and then for whatever reason, let's say they're not using that attorney, and then they turn to the county attorney and they say, defend us, and the county attorney says, well, I told you guys not to do that. That was my advice, and now I got to defend you. So it gets problematic when you're not working with your county attorney, and I'm really sorry about what happened in that one county. That's bad, that what happened there. The whole fact scenario was bad. But the deal is that you still can hire specialty attorneys. It's not as if you can't go hire them, and it happens all the time. And I want to make sure people understand how much work goes into the expertise is there. I mean, after a lot of you go home in the evening, I sit here and answer questions throughout the evening for my sheriff, my treasurer, my assessor, my clerk of the district court, and all of my commissioners and all the department heads. It's a lot of work. And once a month I get on the phone and we have a conference call with all the civil attorneys across the state from every county. And every county is extremely well represented already, with the exception of perhaps this one county that's having some difficulties. I see what we're trying to accomplish here, and maybe we do need to elaborate on how this should work, but I don't think this is the bill, and I think we need to take more time to think this through. Because I know it probably was not the intent, but if you read it, I can read this as the county commissioners could go hire their own county attorney now, through the use of this bill, and that concerns me. And I'd urge you to vote no.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Question being called, all those in favor of Representative Berger's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Bill number 181 do pass. Please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. The chair is in doubt. Call for a division. Would the ayes please stand? Noes, Dan? Pursuant to House Rule 6-6B, the bill having failed a voice vote, a roll call vote is required. No? Oh. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
No.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
No.
Flickery.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
No.
Eklund.
No.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Filer.
Aye.
Freeman.
No.
Gay.
No.
Gingery.
No.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
No.
Green.
Aye.
Halverson. Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
No.
Hutchings.
No.
Yagi.
No.
Kasparic.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
No.
Crone.
No.
Larson.
No.
Lockhart.
No.
Laux.
No.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
No.
Miller.
No.
Moniz.
No.
Nicholas.
No.
Northrup.
No.
Patton. Paxton.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Pieperinen.
No.
Reeder.
No.
Simlett.
No.
Summers.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace excused. Walters.
No.
Watt.
No.
Wilson.
No.
Winters.
No.
Zwanitzer Dan.
No.
Zwanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 29 aye, 30 no, 1 excused.
Pursuant to House Rule 6-6B, House Bill 189, having failed a roll call vote, is indefinitely postponed. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Chairman, I move the Committee of the Whole rise and sit again at 2 o'clock.
We're now at the order of business of reports from standing committees. Okay. Or committee announcements. Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Committee number 3, Revenue, will meet Monday, February 4, at 7:30 a.m. in room H11. We have two Senate files, Senate File 68, sales tax zapping, and we have Senate File 30, special districts.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 10, Labor, will meet 10 minutes upon noon recess to hear these two bills, House Bill 237, Unemployment Insurance, and House Bill 251, Childhood.
Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 4, Education, will be taking a break today. No meeting.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 9 will meet Monday morning at 8 o'clock to consider the following Senate files. Qualification for the University of Wyoming trustee. House Bill, and the Senate file 38, University of Wyoming Board of Trustees, and Senate file 27, Limited Mining Operations.
Chairman Davidson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Your committee number 6, Travel, Wildlife, and Cultural TRW. We'll meet at 7:30 a.m. on Monday morning, and we'll go over Senate File 82 and Senate File 85. Thank you.
Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 1, Judiciary, will meet on Monday at noon recess in room H8 and take up Senate File 39, Uniform Adult Guardianship Jurisdiction Act, and Senate File 11, Circuit Court Magistrates.
Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your good committee, Corporations number 7, will meet Monday upon noon recess, and the bills for their review will be Senate File 6, Office of Consumer Advocate Revisions, Senate File 13, Uniform Commercial Code Revisions, and Senate File 18, Professional Engineers and Surveyors Practice Act.
Hearing no further announcements, this chamber is in recess. Oh, the chair calls for a motion to adjourn. I need to go. Oh, okay. All right. We'll call for a vote on the floor leader's motion to adjourn. All in favor say aye. Opposed say no. Motion is carried. The House is in recess till 2 p.m.